This is a really interesting issue we're about to discuss, and I welcome your calls on it as well, 1300 222 774, because the Ombudsman, Deborah Glass, has had to have another go, a second investigation into complex work cover cases, claims that the commercial bodies, the WorkSafe agents, who manage work cover claims on behalf of WorkSafe. In the case of complex issues concerning injured workers, there she's found that the system is failing to deliver just outcomes to too many people. In 2016, Deborah Glass tabled a report into WorkSafe agents' handling of complex claims, and finding that while the system wasn't broken, but the handling of it needed fundamental reform. And here we are again with a similar problem. Deborah Glass is the Victorian Ombudsman and joins you now. Ombudsman, good morning and welcome to Mornings.
Good morning, Virginia.
So back in 2016 when you tabled that report, you had a number of recommendations that went with it. I understand they were all adopted, is that right?
They were all adopted, at least the ones to WorkSafe were adopted. I made some broader recommendations around the dispute system that WorkSafe didn't accept. They were essentially for government. But you know, I have asked myself, you know, looking back at this now, you know, what was the impact of that report? Because it does seem that it just drove some bad practices underground.
So, and you start your foreword to your investigation with you've always got to start these things with an arresting opening sentence. I was taught that years ago, and so you have. Does anything change after an ombudsman investigation? What's the answer to that, Deborah
Glass? Well, usually yes, you know, and I do monitor these all of my recommendations from all of my reports. Mm. And I can confidently say that as a result of my work over the last 5 years, we have seen unfair laws, unfair practices change. We've seen large amounts of money being paid back to people who've been wrongfully disentitled in a whole range of areas. So I'm absolutely confident that in the cases, many of the cases I've dealt with, there is significant change. But clearly in this case, not nearly enough.
So let's talk about, first of all, the WorkSafe agents. What are they? Who are they?
Well, there are five commercial agents, Allianz, CGU, Gallagher Bassett, EML and Exchanging. They WorkSafe is a regulatory body, and it outsources claims management to these five agents. So they are supposed to stand in the shoes of WorkSafe to manage claims for workers' compensation.
Okay. And when we're talking about so-called complex cases, what do we mean?
Well, this is the end of the spectrum where people have been off work for 2.5 years or more. So these are the cases where people have very complex health conditions. They might have both sort of physical and mental injury. People who are seriously incapacitated for work as a result of injuries from the workplace.
And what have you found that they're doing?
Well, they're terminating claims in wholly unreasonable circumstances. I mean, agents are making decisions to terminate claims, for example, or require unfair return to work practices that are not only unreasonable and unjust. Some of these cases are downright immoral and unethical.
Give me an example of the immoral and unethical.
Well, for example, an aged care worker who injured her back at work. Clearly long-term incapacity, the agent decided to put her under surveillance. Now, there is no – they can do that if there is some evidence that somebody's misrepresenting their injury. In this case, there's no evidence at all of that. She's put under surveillance. The surveillance confirms that she's walking with a limp throughout. The agent decides they're going to still continue the surveillance. Now, it must have been pretty bad, this surveillance, because the worker contacted the agent to say, am I under surveillance?
Oh, so it was actually badly done.
Because
it was totally obvious.
The agent denied it and told her that if she was concerned about being followed, she ought to go to the police.
No. How was it revealed that it was actually the agent surveilling her?
Well, we found it in the files.
Oh, right.
Now, this is a woman who not only has a physical injury, but is developing a complex mental health condition as a result of that injury. Now, you'd think you were paranoid if that was happening to you.
So all this is going on for some period of time, I imagine. You can maybe tell us how long. And she's not receiving any money, any compensation during this time, I imagine.
Well, this is a complex case that we've actually, you know, gone back to and asked WorkSafe to, you know, to have another look at, because we found too many examples of this sort of thing happening. So it could be unfair return to work practices. I mean, clearly, you know, it's good for the system to be returning people to work, requiring them to have to go to occupational rehabilitation, but only where it's appropriate to do so. And in one of the cases that you'll see in the report is a man who is experiencing severe psychotic hallucinations being required to go to rehab.
Gee. What happened in that case?
Well, you know, again, you know, the IME comment, the independent medical examiner, I should say, commented that this was, you know, if you could, to expect somebody experiencing psychotic hallucinations to give a rational medical history, they clearly haven't much experience of severely mentally injured people.
Are the agents doing this on behalf of WorkCover because they either have been told or they intuit that this is the way that WorkCover wants to play it?
Well, there are financial incentives for
offered
people
by
to,
who?
To... Well, the system, you know, the system, the contracts that WorkSafe has with the agents provide a complicated set of financial rewards and penalties for managing the scheme. And it is a carefully calibrated scheme, but there is an incentive to, you know, for people to, you know, to get off WorkCover. Now, you know, as one of the somebody who we interviewed during the investigation said to us, you know, these people are in it to make money, and the best way to make money is to get people on compensation, off compensation.
So how did it continue after your last report and the recommendations that were made? You say that you conclude now that some of the bad practices were driven underground. In what way?
Well, last time we reported on emails that we'd obtained during the investigation, which very openly congratulated people on what they called termies. You know, they terminated somebody's entitlements.
Oh, right, yeah.
And now, you know, can you imagine the effect this is having on somebody's life? You know, having their long-term payments terminated, they could be in severe financial stress, unable to pay their mortgages. And at the same time, we were seeing a set of emails going, you know, well done, mate, congratulations, you know, on your latest termie. So what happened after what we found in this investigation was that agent staff were told to be careful what they put in emails in case the ombudsman saw it.
Oh, yeah, right. Which is probably the advice offered to a lot of people who are in a situation where their documentation might be seized.
Indeed.
Or looked at.
Well, I think it came as a surprise to commercial entities that it was possible for the ombudsman to get hold of their emails.
Is there a reasonable basis, though, for some of this rather suspicious behaviour? I mean behaviour that's suspicious of people making claims, because is there a great deal of WorkCover fraud abroad that needs a careful look at?
The system has to look very carefully at claims, and I absolutely accept that. But there is not a shred of evidence of fraud in any of the cases we looked at. If anyone's rorting the system, it seems to me it's the agents rather than the workers. You know, these are cases where if somebody had the stamina to push their case all the way through conciliation to court, they would actually get these entitlements. But the system has been relying, I think, on people being too frail and too sick and too stressed to pursue their entitlements.
So what happens now with your review? Do you have a new set of recommendations, Deborah Glass?
Well, a much bolder set than last time, and essentially to government. So I've made two major recommendations this time to government, which I'm very happy to say they've accepted.
And what are they?
Well, one is to take a really good, long, hard, independent look at who should be managing these cases. So, you know, should we actually be outsourcing complex claims to commercial agents?
You've anticipated what I wanted to be my final question, which was whether these even should be outsourced, but we'll get to that in a moment.
And look, that, you know, that has got to be the question that you ask at this stage, particularly when this is the second time I've looked at the issue.
Sure.
And the second recommendation is around the dispute system. At the moment, the workers can take their case to conciliation, you know, and that's a good thing. It can be, when that works, that's very effective. But if, as we've seen in many cases, agents turn up to conciliation not prepared to conciliate beyond some derisory sum, more often than not, we suspect, driven by financial incentives, then workers have no choice but to take their matter to court, which can take years, it takes time and money that many people don't have, you know, not to mention the stress that goes along with that. So the second recommendation is to bring in some form of binding dispute resolution.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, an arbitration system if conciliation fails.
Okay, and that sort of binds it into the system so you know that at least you'll end up there.
It does, exactly. Yeah.
So you said the government's willing to accept both these recommendations?
They have indeed, which I'm very pleased to see.
So what we're announcing today then is the end of that system where those five commercial bodies act as agents on behalf of WorkSafe?
Well, I'm not announcing that. I mean, that's obviously going to be a matter for the government
but,
to...
But that's
to,
the corollary of that recommendation being accepted.
To review that to whether, you know, who should be managing these in future. Mm. And clearly a part of that is to look at the financial viability of the scheme, something I'm very mindful of. Now, this is...
I mean, is it viable?
Well, at the moment, somebody's making a lot of money out of it, and it's not the government. You know, it's... What we don't know and what needs to be calibrated with my recommendations is how the financial viability of the scheme is balanced with fairness. And what we're seeing at the moment is that pendulum has swung too far away from fairness. So you need to look at the whole scheme, the overall financial viability, what is in it, for these individuals, but also looking at other parallels. You know, the Transport Accident Commission, for example, manages a scheme that doesn't outsource seriously injured people.
That's right. They do it themselves. So it could end up that we go back to a scheme where WorkSafe, the state entity, actually does the investigation on behalf of the WorkCover scheme.
Well, that is a really serious option that needs to be looked at.
Is it
now
your preferred option?
Look, it would be my preferred option, but okay. What I'm very mindful of is that I haven't investigated the financial viability of the WorkSafe, the WorkCover scheme, and I'm very conscious that that this is an important factor that needs to be taken into account. But fairness here has gone out the window, and that cannot be right.
Fascinating. And it sounds like you finally managed to bell the cat on this one, Deborah Glass.
Well, I wouldn't
want
to have
two reports.
I don't want to have to investigate this one a third time.
I get that. Deborah Glass, Victorian Ombudsman, and a bit of a bouquet for you on text as well, Deborah Glass. Ms. Glass is a fearless champion. Where would we be without an independent watchdog, Susan from Ascot Vale?
Thank you very much, Susan.
Deborah Glass, the Victorian Ombudsman.